Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to the phone lines and talk to Ernest in Temple Hills, Maryland. Hi, Ernest.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Yes, sir. I have a question for you. I would like to know, Hank, which one do you believe is correct? Premillennialism, postmillennialism, or amillennialism?
I think they all have problems. And I have delineated my views in my book, The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. I think what's critically important for us to understand is that while the 1,000 years is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, nowhere is the notion of a millennial semi-golden age replete with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices communicated by Jesus Christ or the apostles in their earthly ministry. The point is simply that there is in Scripture ample warrant for recognizing that 1,000 used as a whole number has a metaphorical meaning. The obvious examples would be God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God will increase your number 1,000 times, and metaphorically, 1,000 more examples could be given, and I've given many of those examples in my book.
Okay, but so you don't hold any of the three.
I do not. I find problems with all three of the views.
Okay, but is it, Hank? Is it true that amillennialism believe that the 1,000 year is already happening right now? Do they believe
yes.
that what they believe?
Yeah, the amillennial position, although there are many permutations of the position, is that the 1,000 years is a period of time, which is not literally 1,000 years, but it is a period of time between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, one more follow-up. But as for amillennialism, they believe that the millennium is happening now. Do they also believe that evangelism is still a mission then in this millennium?
Yes, most amillennialists do. They hold that evangelism is the duty and responsibility and privilege of all believers, the Holy Spirit working through us in the process of changing the lives of people for time and for eternity.
Okay, thank you, Hank. That's all my questions.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I've written about this in detail in my book, The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. In the book, I point out my view of eschatology. I call it E squared, or exegetical eschatology, and I lay out exactly what I mean by that. Again, the book, The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today, is an important resource. You can order it online at equip.org. You can order it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Of course, breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. And the result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics, not to mention bad foreign policy. And I argue in the book that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other books of the Bible, not current events, not recent history, and certainly not any complicated charts. In the book, I offer sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as what does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who are the Antichrist and the great whore of Babylon, and what is the real meaning of 666? How does our view of the end times change the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? Are two-thirds of all Jews really headed for an apocalyptic Holocaust? The Apocalypse Code is a call to understand what the Bible really says about the end times and why how we understand it matters so much in today's world. Again, you can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Keith, Las Vegas, Nevada, listening on the web. Hi, Keith.
Hello, Brother Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I was hoping I could briefly tell you what I believe, and you can tell me where I'm going wrong.
Sure.
I believe when, you know, at the end of time, when God comes back, and he's going to renew the universe, renew the earth, and what I believe is it's going to be going back to basically the original state it was when Adam and Eve was put here, a perfect earth, a perfect world, and we're going to exist eternally in our new physical bodies, in a real physical plane of existence, which then leads me to questions like, well, does that mean there's going to be a society? Is there going to be an economic system? Is it going to be kind of like it is now, just take away the sin, take away the death, take away the dying, take away the sickness? So I kind of just wanted your opinions on scripturally, am I in the right ballpark or am I way off?
No, the bonk stop of scripture is that paradise lost will become paradise restored. That the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And that God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the older things will have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So yes, we can legitimately expect that we will live in resurrected bodies in a restored universe, no longer groaning in travail, and we will forever explore the goodness and greatness of our Redeemer. And not only so, but we will have the opportunity to explore the vastness of the universe that he has created. And supposing that we could exhaust that, he could create new universes for us to explore. So we'll never come to an end of learning and growing and developing. And certainly, there will be different stations in life. We're not going to be clones of one another. We'll have personalities, we'll all have gifts, we will not be equal in the gifts that we have, our gifts will be different. What a boring place it would be if all of us were mere clones of one another. So there will be differences in many different aspects with respect to our lives, and what we do now counts for all eternity.
Well, let me ask you about what I think, how that's going to pan out, and I could be way off on this, is that Adam and Eve, when they were first put here, he told them to go forth and multiply and be fruitful and basically grow in numbers. And if that happened in eternity, and if you ever ask that in church, right, like, people are going to look at you crazy, but if you procreated in heaven and grew in numbers and your technology became greater and you were able to explore deeper space and see other planets and all these different things, doesn't that seem like a natural line of thought that we would just go out and explore the vastness of the universe?
Well, I think that's right, but I don't think it's right to suggest that we'll propagate in numbers. Earth is the breeding colony. Heaven, as has been well said, is the homeland. So in that sense, we'll be like the angels. We will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and nor will we propagate and have children.
So scripturally, we definitely do not propagate in heaven. That's somewhere in Scripture?
Yeah, well, we'll be like the angels. We'll neither marry nor be given in marriage, and there's no indication whatsoever anywhere in the entire panoply of Scripture that we will propagate or multiply in some sense in the eternal realm or in the new heavens and the new earth, in the restored paradise. But the second part of what you said is absolutely correct. We will learn and grow and explore the vastness of God's universe. We will not be omniscient. Humanity cannot bear the burden of omniscience.
or we could develop technology. We could develop greater and greater technologies as we go forward.
Well, there's no question that we can develop in all kinds of ways, and certainly to use the language of technology, there's nothing whatsoever to preclude that there won't be advances upon advances upon advances, because now we learn and grow and develop with error. There we will learn and grow and develop without error.
Okay, well, thank you for spending so much time with me, Hank. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And I have written about this in various places, including my book, Resurrection. It is a very important book that you can order online at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is June in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, June.
Hi. I have a question. What happens to the ones that, when we're in war and they're not Christians and they're killed, what happens to those people?
Well, the point is simply this. Those who want a relationship with God can have a relationship with God, which is to say that according to the Apostle Paul, God places people in the exact times and places so that they can turn to Him. And Jesus made the same point, essentially, when He was talking to Nicodemus and said, "Light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." So the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men want to repress light, because we all have the light of creation. If you look at the sun, moon, and stars, you know that there has to be a God. We also have written on the tablet of our consciousness a knowledge of God. And if we respond to light, we'll receive more light. But if we don't want light, God does not force Himself on us. So whether a person is killed in war or dies in some other way, if they didn't want a relationship with God in this life, God is not going to force Himself on them in eternity.
Well, in the 1,000 years, do those people have a chance then to accept Jesus?
Well, first of all, there is never a second chance. There's never a chance after death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But the other part of the question has a premise to it that I don't accept. I don't think that there's a literal semi-golden age that follows the second coming of Jesus Christ. Rather, I believe the words of Jesus to be explanatory when He said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." So after the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the eternal state.
Okay, well, what if those people haven't heard?
Well, what I'm pointing out is that all people have, according to Paul in Romans chapter 1, the light of creation. In Romans chapter 2, he points out that we all have the light of conscience. And in Romans chapter 3, he delineates the fact that if we respond to the light of creation and the light of conscience, we will have more light. We can receive the light of Christ. And by the way, the normative way that that happens is through human agency, but it doesn't have to happen that way. God can give someone His light directly apart from human agency. And again, that is not normative, but certainly God can do that to anyone that wishes to know Him intimately and personally in this life.
Well, I just thought maybe they could believe God, believe in God. But if they haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior, does that mean then that you're saying that all they need to do is believe in God then?
No, let me restate what Paul says. From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And God did this so that men might reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. So what I'm saying, June, is that we have the light from without, which is the light of creation, which testifies that there is a God. We have the light from within written on the tablet of our heart that there is a God. So we have both the light from without and a light from within. And if we respond to that light, we'll receive more light, that Jesus Christ can reveal himself through human agency. In other words, he can use you as a witness to testify of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to an unbeliever, but he can also do that directly apart from human agency, though that is not normative.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it, June. Thank you so much for your question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Amber in Leslie, Missouri. Hi, Amber.
Hi. I really enjoy your show. Thank you for taking me so much.
You got it.
My question is, you answered a little bit in the last question. Now, in the second coming, I know it says that God will judge the living and the dead. Now, the dead are already either in heaven or in hell, correct? And then, you know, do they get judged again? Or once you're in heaven or once you're in hell, is that's where you're going to be? Or is that just the second coming is just for, you know, the people that are alive?
Well, remember what I just quoted from Jesus Christ himself. Do not be amazed at this. Time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. But here's the deal. If you die now, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord as a believer. If you die right now as an unbeliever, you're absent from the body, but your soul continues to have conscious existence, but in torment, which is apart from the loving grace of God, apart from the presence of God in paradise or Abraham's bosom, as Jesus describes it in Luke chapter 16. And there he gives us the story of both conditions. One condition of a beggar who is in paradise or Abraham's bosom, the other of a rich man who is in torment. So there's a sense in which that separation already begins at death in the temporary state. But in the eternal state, there certainly will be a judgment for what has been done while in the flesh, which is to say that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You got it, Amber. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stephen. He's listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Doing good. How are you?
I kind of have like a two-part question. The first one is, I was listening to your broadcast. And just long story short, do you believe that there will be an Antichrist at the end of times or no Antichrist?
Well, remember that John uses the word Antichrist in his epistles, and he defines Antichrist as anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And therefore, Antichrist can refer to individuals or institutions that deny that Jesus Christ is God. So we have always had Antichrist with us by the definition that John himself has given us in Holy Scripture.
Okay. I guess like the man of sin then, that talk of like the man of sin, that one main character of the Antichrist and all that.
Well, the idea of a beast, not Antichrist, but a beast is communicated in Revelation. And Paul does talk about a man of sin in his epistles. But the point here is that in Revelation, when the beast is being discussed, the churches are being told that with wisdom and understanding, they can identify the number of the beast and the number of his name. Now, it would be cruel and unusual for John to tell his audience that with wisdom and understanding, they could understand the number of the beast and the number of his name, if indeed the beast did not exist in their epoch of time, if indeed he was talking about a 21st century beast. So obviously, the beast that he's talking about, the parody, by the way, of the Lamb in Revelation, is first century, not 21st century.
Oh, okay. And also, I was looking at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and Acts chapter 15, verse 20, and it talks about not eating things that was given to idols and strangled with blood and stuff like that. So is that like, you know, if the Christian is free to eat anything, does that mean you can't eat that stuff, though? Is that
no,
the exception?
It is absolutely true that the believer is free to eat anything, but what is delineated in Scripture and clearly there is that we don't want to involve ourselves with sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. In other words, the kinds of things that will lead us into immorality. So there's nothing wrong with the eating of food that has been sacrificed to idols, but if it is used in conjunction or conjoined with sexual immorality or the leading into sexual immorality, we should abstain. But yes, Jesus made it perfectly clear, unambiguous, emphatic, that it isn't what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And Mark adds, in saying this, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Please pray for this ministry. Support us. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.